First of all, President Joe Biden has approved an emergency declaration for the state of North Carolina as we continue cleaning up from Hurricane Ian. State officials have reported 4 deaths from the storm, including 3 in Johnston County alone. Luckily for us here in the Triangle, at the very least, power is back on for nearly every single Duke Energy customer in the Triangle after tens of thousands of people lost power on Friday when the storm hit. Before the storm on Thursday night, you may have noticed a bunch of emergency vehicles near the intersection of Estes Drive and East Franklin Street. That was a collision between a vehicle and a pedestrian. The pedestrian was briefly hospitalized but released later that evening. The driver now faces charges of speeding and failure to yield in a crosswalk. Over to campus now, as UNC officials went before the Chapel Hill Town Council last week with a semi-annual update on construction projects. 97.9 The Hill's Madison Ward has more on what they discussed.
Evan Yaski is an architect for UNC who delivered the presentation to the council. Yaski said UNC's completed construction projects include the Journalism School's Curtis Media Center, the UNC Health Central Generator Plant next to the emergency room, and the National Panhellenic Council Legacy Plaza. Yaski said the plaza is located in the Student Academic Services Courtyard, which is on the intersection of Manning Drive and Ridge Road. He added the fixture recognizes the Divine Nine group of fraternities and sororities.
There are similar types of installations at other campuses, but we didn't have one previously in Chapel Hill, so we're very excited to now have a place to recognize these groups.
While those projects may be completed, people around UNC may have noticed other projects which are underway. One of those is renovation to the Keenan Football Center, which houses offices, locker rooms, and other facilities for the football team.
So we're adding a small addition to that building. You can see the excavation here, primarily to add some therapeutic spaces in the sports medicine area for the student athletes to kind of get it more in line with peer institutions that have those types of spaces for their teams.
Yaski said another athletic project is the Cohn-Kenfeld Tennis Center, which is scheduled to be completed by next spring.
The tennis courts out there were in pretty bad shape. They were cracking annually, and every spring it was a race to get the courts fixed in time for competition. Both men's and women's teams have been performing quite well, reaching high rankings, and this facility is now to try to get it up to speed with what the team is doing.
UNC officials are beginning the design of other projects, including the Carrington Hall renewal. Carrington Hall will serve as the replacement for the UNC School of Nursing, which is increasing its class size. It'll host new, large facilities for both students in the School of Nursing and School of Medicine. UNC aims to begin construction next year, shortly after UNC's new medical building is completed. Town Council member Camille Berry said she was thrilled to hear about the Carrington Hall renewal project.
I just want to say thank you for all of this work that you're doing with your campus, which is in our town. And I was really excited to hear about the expansion of the class size for nursing because we're so desperately need nurses, more of those professionals. Thank you.
The Keenan Flagler Business School is also receiving a new addition and renovation after donor Stephen Bell Hall pledged a $25 million gift. The new building will include a doubled teaching space with 16 classrooms, enhanced technology for hybrid and online courses, and become more environmentally friendly. For Chapel Hill residents, one of the more visible projects will be the Porthole Alley redevelopment on Franklin Street. The university is in discussions with the town for the early stages of the project. The new building behind Porthole Alley includes the design of UNC's undergraduate admissions building and a reimagined welcome center, retention programs, and expansion of retail opportunities. Yaski said the project is one of their top priorities, and officials hope to have a more extensive update in the near future. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Madison Ward.
UNC's Board of Trustees also met last week, right on the heels of new rankings from U.S. News & World Report, showing, among other things, Carolina as the top value public school in the nation for the 18th straight year. Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz on those rankings.
And this really shows our excellence combined with affordability, something that if you go back to our charter, the university's charter, we talk about the importance of that for the people of North Carolina. So I'm grateful to our faculty, staff, students, and this board who remains committed to this, and also our Board of governors who is committed to the affordability component of that. I wrote an op-ed that was published last week that I know several of you reached out to me about, and I emphasized that while it's nice to be consistently ranked among the best colleges and university, it's also impossible for any simplified ranking to account for all the incredible things and the distinct missions at different universities. And I talked in there about the fact that we could probably bolster our U.S. News and World Report ranking by charging much higher tuition or rejecting far more of our applicants. We could put less emphasis on welcoming rural and first-generation students to redirect those resources away from public service, focusing more on the selectivity that U.S. News and World Report values in those rankings. But that wouldn't meet anyone's idea as best. And when I say that, I think we all agree that what is best for us and what's important to us, we're being proudly public as part of our DNA. So topping the charts is great, but not if it means compromising our core mission. And I think we're committed to staying true to that.
That's UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz speaking there. Two local government meetings tonight. First of all, a work session for the Chapel Hill Town Council at 6:30 in the Chapel Hill Public Library. Council members will get an update on federal COVID relief funds and discuss a future splash pad and an inclusive playground. Council members were set to discuss the former American Legion property too, but that's been tabled for a later meeting. Also tonight at 7, Orange County Commissioners meet in the Witted Building in Hillsboro. Their top agenda item is a discussion of plans to restrict protests and demonstrations on and around school campuses and public playgrounds. Officials began considering a new ordinance after some demonstrations during the last school year, but they've gotten pushback on free speech grounds. Head to our website, chapelboro.com, to get links to the agendas for both of those meetings. And finally, some exciting news for us here at the station, as 97.9 The Hill won 3 awards at the North Carolina Association of Broadcasters annual meeting last week. For the second year in a row, 97.9 The Hill was named Non-Metro Station of the Year and took home a statewide award for community radio involvement, and I was named Non-Metro Radio Personality of the Year. Much more on those honors on our website, chapelboro.com. It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Chapel Hill Tire. A rare treat for Carolina football fans over the weekend as UNC got an easy win, braving the weather and rolling over Virginia Tech 41-10, the final score. With your recap, here's 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe.
On a day when a steady mist fell in Chapel Hill under the remnants of Hurricane Ian, it was Drake May who reigned supreme. The redshirt freshman quarterback accounted for 5 total touchdowns against Virginia Tech Saturday afternoon, leading Carolina to a 41-10 bounce-back win. The win is UNC's second consecutive over the Hokies in Chapel Hill, something which hasn't happened since 1938. Virginia Tech had won 5 of the previous 6 meetings and 2 of 3 in head coach Mack Brown's second stint with the Tar Heels. It also marked a massive improvement for the defense, which posted by far its best outing of the season. Brown said the performance was indicative of more confidence and showcased the consistency he's been hoping for.
The first quarter was really good against Notre Dame. The fourth quarter was really good against Georgia State. The second and third quarter were really good against App State. So we've seen it in pieces, but we just didn't, we haven't consistently done it. And tonight, I thought they walked onto the field thinking 3 and out, and they have not had that confidence, and that should really help them moving forward.
The performance comes after the UNC defense held a players-only meeting earlier in the week to address its problems. Linebacker Noah Taylor, a transfer from Virginia, no doubt playing with extra fire against his old rivals, said the unit always had confidence in itself, and Saturday's result was no surprise.
We just knew we were good enough. We knew what we could do on the field. So it was never really like panic or, oh, we need to do this. But it was kind of just this is what we're supposed to do. So we've always came with that swag and that confidence that we played with today.
On offense, May spread the ball around with ease, completing passes to 9 different receivers, including all 3 tight ends. Receiver Josh Downs caught 8 passes for 120 yards, both team highs. But a mental lapse from the young quarterback could have soured the day in a flash. On a run along the sideline, May leapt to try and gain additional yardage near the end zone, but fell hard on his side and stayed down for a few moments afterward. Hearts were in mouths all around Keenan Stadium, but May eventually got up and jogged back to the sideline to cheers. Here's what May had to say about the sequence.
You know, I didn't think I could actually make it, but just got to be smarter. But, you know, I've got the wind knocked out of me. You know, I hope I didn't look like I was overreacting. It's hard when you can't breathe, I think. You know, a lot of people probably think I'm, you know, just kind of milking it. But, you know, that feeling you can't breathe, it's pretty bad.
May has accounted for at least 5 total touchdowns in 4 of the Tar Heels' 5 games this season. The day also marked the first time the UNC defense shut out an opponent through an entire half. The Hokies did not score in the 3rd or 4th quarters. The win moves UNC to 4-1 overall and 1-0 in ACC play, and avenges the team's season-opening defeat in Blacksburg last year. The Tar Heels won't be back in Keenan Stadium for another 4 weeks, as the team will now take trips to Miami and Duke before enjoying its 2nd bye week of the season. The game with the Hurricanes is scheduled to kick off at 4 p.m. next Saturday. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Elsewhere in Carolina sports, Aaron Mattson had 4 goals as the top-ranked UNC field hockey team beat number 14 Liberty 6-3. Mattson now just 6 points away from the all-time ACC scoring record. Not as good a weekend for UNC volleyball. They lost at home to Miami and Florida State. 3rd-ranked UNC women's soccer also lost at Virginia Tech 2-1, giving up 2 late goals in that one. UNC men's soccer is in action tonight at 7, hosting the defending national champion, 17th-ranked Clemson, in a game that was originally scheduled for last Friday but got postponed due to the weather. High school football, the Hurricane forced Orange and Cedar Ridge to call off their game on Friday night, but other local schools got their games in on Thursday. Chapel Hill suffered their first loss of the season, 60-20 to Southern Alamance. Carborough also lost, 54-0 to Vance County. Northwood fell to Person County, 36-34, but Seaforth got their second win, 30-20 over Chatham Central. One more game tonight, East Chapel Hill taking on Lewisburg in a game that was postponed from Friday. Finally, big congratulations to the Durham Bulls. They won the AAA National Championship last night with a come-from-behind win over Reno. Bulls trailed by 1 heading into the 9th inning, but scored 5 runs in the top of the inning to win the game 10-6. It's their 4th AAA National Championship, 2nd in a row counting last year when the title just went to the top regular season finisher.